systems at Canonical Art.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm really enjoying being here, where even some toilets have blackboards. It's really scientific place. So, what I want to speak about the way root systems are used for dealing with algebras. So the overtitle would be root systems and algebras. Now I should stress, when I say A is an algebra, I don't mean what you would immediately expect, Lie algebras, but associative algebras. So it's really dealing with associative algebras and the way root systems play a role there. So an algebra should be a finite dimensional associative algebra over some field K, and maybe we assume that K is algebraically closed. You can also deal with the general case, but some things will become more technical, right? And then the root systems we will consider, they are those from Kac-Moody Lie theory, but then in this setting it usually will be simply laced root systems. Yeah, let me denote by mod A the category of representations, of finite dimensional representations of A, and there of course are only finitely many isomorphism class of irreducible or simple representations with simple representations, say S1 up to Sn, and the n there will be just, you can consider the corresponding Grothendieck group, say K0A, the Grothendieck group with respect to exact sequences. So this will be just free abelian of rank n. Of course, with basis, the isomorphism classes S1 up to Sn, or maybe just corresponding symbols. Yeah, if you start with an arbitrary A module, say M, you may attach to it its so-called dimension vector. And its components, the i-th component should be just the Jordan-Hölder multiplicity of Si and M. Right? So this is a corresponding element in the Grothendieck group. And the question is just describe the set of dimension vectors where M is indecomposable. And there are some situations where really then just the root systems appear. So the classical result in this direction is, say, let's first consider the case hereditary algebras. There is the famous result by Gabriel from 1972, which just says that in this case, this is the set of positive roots of the corresponding root system in case we deal with finite representation type. So first I should say something about these hereditary algebras. These hereditary algebras there, up to Morita equivalence, you can always write as the path algebra of a finite quiver without oriented cycles. So the delta is a so-called finite quiver. A quiver is nothing else than a graph where the edges are oriented. And since we assume that A should be finite dimensional, we have to assume here that we have a finite quiver without oriented cycles. And then, of interest are, for example, the cases where delta is a Dynkin quiver, which should mean, if you forget the orientation, the graph will be one of the Dynkin diagrams, which are simply laced. The underlying graph is AN, DN, E6, E7, E8. And in this situation, you get just that this dim forms the set of the indecomposables modulo isomorphism is bijective to the corresponding set of positive roots, right? So phi plus are the positive roots of the corresponding complex algebra. So now if I speak about positive roots, it means, of course, that in the root system, I choose a basis, and so if they choose a root basis, they are alpha 1 up to alpha n, and if I then have the x some root, you can write the x as in coordinates, which just should mean you write them as linear combinations of the alpha i's there. So a difficult situation of such a Dynkin quiver, maybe just take E6, and we have to choose some orientation, it doesn't matter which one. They take this, maybe here we take change, and maybe take this. And then of course you know there is a maximal positive root. The maximal positive root would be just having the coefficients here 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 1. The others are smaller, right? And you see there, what does it mean there that we consider their multiplicities, John Herder multiplicities? It would mean the corresponding module with this dimension vector would be just a module of length 11. So what we see there is that all the indecomposable representations there of the path algebra of a Dynkin quiver of type E6 have lengths at most 11. Now, this result was generalized by Katz in 1980 to the really general case that we take just a finite quiver without oriented cycles, and so delta general. Now we do not get any more bijectivity, but still we get that the dimension vector forms a set of isomorphism classes of indecomposables mapped surjectively onto the positive roots. Right? And you may look back if you take the dimension vector of some positive root, then the root may be a real root. And if it's a real root, then this will be just one isoclass. And for the non-real roots, L will be infinitely many isoclasses. And then you can say even more about the modality there and so on. Right? But you see that you get quite precise information about the indecomposable representations. Now, there are algebras which are related to the hereditary algebras, which I will introduce in, say, 5 minutes. And there we will see that we get quite similar results, but we will need some more information about the representation theory for such a hereditary algebra. Namely, we need a little bit about the structure of mod A in the case we deal with such a quiver. Namely, we will be mainly interested in the non-Dünken case there. Now, these algebras are called hereditary, and hereditary means that x2 is 0, or you can formulate it this way, and then you see what the hereditary means. Submodules of projective modules are projective. Right? So you will have the projective modules, and if you delete the projective modules, some other modules become relative projective. Right? And gain only finitely many in the composables and so on. And so these were the projectives. And you construct in this way the modules which are called pre-projective. And if delta is not a Dünken quiver, you get countably many. And by duality, you may start with the injective modules. And then deleting them, you get modules which have corresponding relative properties. These are the called pre-injectives. Again, countably many. And then the families, parameterized by some parameters and so on, they all will belong to the remaining parts. These are the so-called regular K-delta modules. So this picture is in case delta is not Dünken. In the Dünken case, it collapses strongly. You will get just a part going from the pre-projectives directly to the injectives, and this is disappears there. Hmm? Okay. Yeah. So the second class of algebras which I want to discuss are the so-called tilted algebras. And the canonical algebras, which appear in the title there, they are special tilted algebras. Right? Now, what are the tilted algebras? You need a tilting module. So TA, an A module there, is called a tilting module, provided, first of all, it has no self-extensions. And second, it has sufficiently many indecomposable summons. So the number of Ti, an indecomposable direct summon, of T is just N of A, the number of simple A modules. Right? So the N there may be denoted by N of A. One can show that under this condition here, the number of isomorphism classes of direct sums is always at most N of A. So it just asserts that the number there is maximum. And in this case, one can look at the corresponding endomorphism ring, and it turns out to have very nice properties. This is called a corresponding tilted algebra. Now, tilted algebras usually look rather different than the algebras they had tilted from. Right? So usually mod k delta and mod b will be rather different, but still something is preserved, namely if you go there to the corresponding derived category, then it turns out that the derived categories, they are actually equivalent, not only as a category, the derived categories are triangulated categories, and this is really, they exist triangular equivalences. Now, the notion of tilting there can be explained as follows. If you take mod A, right, so the A is my K delta, you may look there for the subcategory G of T, where G of T are just the modules generated by T. So these are the A modules, M is generated by T. And it turns out that it's also the same as the modules where the X functor will vanish. And on the other hand, you may look at F of T, the modules where there is no homomorphism from M to T. And so we will have somewhere F of T. And now what's going on? There is some kind of tilting that the G of T will be mapped by the functor hom T to a subcategory of mod B, which is usually denoted by Y of T, and the F of T is mapped to a subcategory, say X of T, which functor we take here, you take X1. So actually, what you take just there is you get from this category to this category just using the derived functor of the hom functor hom T there. Right? And this is also the equivalence which you get there. Now, the interesting feature is there usually will be here modules which are neither in intercompose modules in F of T and G of T. Right? So usually they are mixed modules. These G of T and F of T, they form a torsion pair or torsion theory. And these are the torsion submodules of modules, and these are the corresponding free factor modules. Right? So usually they are mixed modules in the composable modules, which are neither, yeah, see, which are fixed. Whereas, in the category of B modules, again, we have this as a torsion submodules of modules where these are the torsion-free parts, but there are no mixed modules. So here, this here is what is called a split torsion pair. Right? And this is a split torsion pair. Every intercomposable module belongs either to X or to Y, and therefore it corresponds either to a module in F or to a module in G. Now we have seen that the dimension vectors for the category of A modules are just the positive roots. Therefore, we see we can attach to a module, an intercomposable module here, a certain positive root for this root system there. Right? So what we see is that yeah, you can formulate it this way. There again, we can look at the dimension vectors there for the indecomposable B modules. And it will go again to positive roots. Now, positive roots, you know, the root system for a Lie algebra, semi-simple algebra, you always may describe as being given as roots for the corresponding quadratic form, right? And so we can get here also from the quadratic form for A a corresponding quadratic form for B, right? And we will get here the positive roots for a quadratic form, say, which I denote by Q of B. However, in contrast to the hereditary setting, where any root will be either positive or negative, we will have in this setting there also mixed roots. Right? And of course, you see that the positive roots on the level of B module there, they correspond just to some of the positive roots of the root system for the algebra A. Now, why did I speak about the structure of the module category? We will be mainly interested in the situation where we deal with a tilting module which is pre-projective. So, consider the case where T is a pre-projective tilting A module. If we do it, then it turns out we noted here that there usually will exist mixed modules, and actually there may be many mixed modules. It may actually turn out that the category of A modules is representation infinite, has infinitely many indecomposables, whereas the category of B modules has only finitely many isomorphism classes. So that really infinitely many mixed modules are lost under this tilting process. But this does not happen in the case when we deal with a pre-projective tilting module, because in this case, if we take the indecomposable modules, say M of T, so this should be the indecomposable A modules which are mixed, so neither in F of T nor in G of T, then for a pre-projective tilting A module, this is finite. Now let me restrict further to cases which are strongly related to the finite quivers, namely, let me consider affine quivers, delta an affine quiver. So in this case, the corresponding tilted algebras, so we take delta affine quiver and T a pre-projective tilting A module, and B its endomorphism ring, then this is what is called a tame concealed algebra. And they are rather important in the representation C over finite dimension algebras. Right? So the importance comes from two sources. One of them is the so-called Bongard's criterion. Which asserts that you can use these tame conceit algebras in order to decide whether a given algebra is a finite representation type or not. What one needs there is some what is called covering theory or grading theory. You go from your algebra to its so-called universal covering, and if it's not, in some special cases, you may not be able to do it, but then there are some tricks to overcome it. But usually it will be possible. And then if you went over to the universal covering, you may just look there whether you have subalgebras which are tame concealed or not. Right? And this then will decide whether the algebra is a finite representation type of. Right. As soon as you find a tame concealed algebra there, of course it has to be representation infinite, and otherwise it will be representation finite. Now you can do it for the second reason, namely there is the so-called Hubble-Fossig list, which gives you the precise shape of all tame conceit algebras. Now there are over 4,000 Morita equivalence classes of such algebras. However, fortunately, you can squeeze it down to by looking at the so-called frame of such algebras, and then it turns out that you can overlook it. It's only something like 140 frames. And maybe I just show you such a page with frames. They looking at the case E7 tilde. So these are the frames only on this side. These are already some of type E8 tilde. Right? You see this will be the hereditary algebra. Right? And the numbers which are written there, of course, if we take such an affine diagram, one knows that the corresponding quadratic form has rank has a radical with rank 1. And so there will be always there a radical generator, and the numbers which are written there are just the radical generator. Or it is the basis non-real root, right, which occurs here, a positive non-real root. And so you see there are besides the hereditary case and the last case, and the last case we will discuss in a minute in detail, in addition, 20 frames. Right? And again, in all those cases, what is written there describes the algebra, but also you can say it describes the corresponding quadratic form. Right? How you get the quadratic form in the hereditary case, you take for the quadratic form just the Q of K delta would be, you take the sum of the squares of the entries and you subtract the sum of the xi j's, where I and j are neighboring in the graph. Now, in the additional pictures, you always see also some dotted line. Now, the dotted line there just corresponds to corresponding x2 terms, right? So the quadratic form there will change. We have to add there. So if we take such a tilted algebra there, the quadratic form will be sum xi square minus sum xi xj plus sum xi xj, where now we go for the dotted line. Yeah, and if you take the list, it ends up there with a unique such algebra where the radical generator is just of the most simple form. Right? All the entries there are ones. Right? And if you go down, you will see the entries of the radical generators. They go down. You come there from the, the radical generators here, of course, you know it is obtained from the largest positive root of the corresponding Dinger diagram, by just extending it. Therefore, these affine diagrams are the extended diagrams, right? And the numbers there go down until you reach there this unique quadratic form and the unique algebra, and therefore it's called the corresponding canonical algebra. So the canonical algebras, which we will be interested in, so this is three, the canonical algebras. We discuss it only say for K delta with delta affine is the unique algebra with radical generator say D for the quadratic form. So the canonical algebra C for QC with D having just components 1, 1, 1. Now it's came concealed. And therefore, of course, we know that the number of the mixed modules there will be finite. And it turns out that the number of the mixed modules are the following numbers they in these canonical settings. Let me write it as S of delta. And so in the case when delta is of type AN tilde, DN tilde, E6 tilde, E7 tilde, E8 tilde, it turns out to be, now this is the S of delta. There is no mixed modules in the A case. There are n minus 2 over 2 mixed modules in the D cases. And here are 13, 43, and 164. Now the question is, what do these numbers mean? If you know root systems, right? So for E6, E7, E8, or E6 tilde and so on, these numbers 13, 43, and 164. I should say, in general, for any tame conceived algebra, the number of mixed modules is always at most S of delta. And this, of course, non negative. And you can show you have here equality precisely if we are in the hereditary case. And we have here equality precisely if we are in the canonical case. So the canonical algebras are really characterized by the fact that the number of mixed modules is as large as possible. So the S here you could interpret as number, say, of shortage. Right? You are missing a lot of roots, a lot of in the composite modules. Right? Yes. Maybe I should show you another picture there. Right? You see the quiver of this canonical algebra there is just given by three such passes. So in general, canonical algebras are not only defined in the tame situation. So in general canonical algebras they are always given by a quiver which has t passes. They going from omega to zero. So a first part pass, a second one, and then a t pass. And they don't overlap. They just go from one source to one sink, right? So they are T passes. And one takes T minus two generic relations, right? So we are only interested in the case T equal to two, which would be just an A and tilde diagram, right? And this is, of course, a hereditary situation. And if you look here in the A and tilde case, we have here the zero there, which means there can be never a mixed module. So canonical is the same as hereditary. So this is, in some sense, a trivial situation. What means the situation T equal to 3? Then, of course, we have 3 such passes. The passes of length P1 greater or equal to P2 greater or equal to P3. And if we denote the arrows of the first pass by x and of the second by y and of the third by z, then the generic relation there could be always written in the form you take the composition of the arrows x, so this is x to the p1 plus the y to the p2 plus z to the p3 is 0, right? So this would be the generic relation there. And one gets these canonically tilted algebras. You remember, we need n direct summons in this part here. Now this part here actually has a very nice structure. This is of the form n delta, right? So, for example, in the case E7 tilde, we start with E7 tilde, take countably many copies, and then we connect it backwards in this way, so that we get a very nice grip. So this will be the categorical description of the pre-projective modules. And then here inside, we have to find there these tilting modules, right? And the corresponding situation, they let me discuss there the E7 tilde case. It turns out you have to take in this orbit here 5 vertices, and in this orbit there are 3 vertices. They will be mapped from here to here, to here, to here, to here. This gives me the long path there. There will be maps from here to here, from here to here. This gives me the path of length 2, and correspondingly we will get here the path of length 3. So these are the canonical configurations there, which give rise then to these canonical algebras. Right? Now, until 3 years ago, the tilted algebras were considered as something higher structure in mathematics, something where one was thinking that one may just replace them. by a better behaved class of algebras, but it has turned out, and this is in the part 4, that there are the so-called cluster-tilted algebras, which really play a much more important role even than the tilted algebras. Right. So for cluster-tilted algebras, they were introduced by Buhan, Marsh, and Ryden. Three years ago, and what you do is the following. You take B, a tilted algebra. Now, I didn't tell you, but I told you at least the tilted algebras usually are not hereditary. However, they still have global dimension at most 2. So X2 must be of interest, and what you can do there is you can take the trivial extension of B with X2, yeah, you take the canonical co-generator and you take the canonical generator. And you can see that X2 of the canonical co-generator sitting off top of the canonical generator there really controls X2. And if you take this algebra there, it turns out this is the corresponding cluster tilted algebra. That something quite interesting happens. You remember? We had here the tilting procedure. So that in the category of A modules, we had there this torsion pair, torsion modules, torsion free modules, and here some mixed modules. And then going over to the category of B modules, the torsion modules became torsion free, the torsion free became torsion, but the mixed ones were just lost. Right. And now it turns out that this mod B is of course a nice full subcategory of mod B hat. And it turns out the X and the Y is still a torsion pair, but there are new mixed modules there. And the mixed modules are in one-to-one correspondence to the mixed modules there. So it's a very nice situation, right? You really make a kind of, should not call it surgery, because I think the doctors will not do it, right? Torsion modules, torsion-free modules, something mixed, right? And now you just exchange it, the torsion becomes torsion-free, the torsion-free becomes torsion, but the mixed really give you new mixed ones, right? And the mixed modules there are just those, the indecomposing mixed modules are the N's, the B hat modules, which are not annihilated by X2. Yeah, let me write for the dual of B just dBB times N is non-zero. What does it mean in the case when we deal with the canonical algebra? Now we don't have to consider this question in the case of A and tilde, because in this case X2 vanishes, so we don't do anything. So assume C is canonical, they with t equal to 3. The t equal to 3 meant we have there these 3 passes. And we had one relation. Now, such a relation obviously just gives rise to a corresponding x2 term. Right? And it turns out that what you adjoin there will just give rise to a new arrow going in this direction. Now, I avoid the dotted line, but of course, this dotted line still exists here. Right? But the general feature of such a cluster tilted algebra is that any of the arrows gives rise to a corresponding relation in the opposite direction. So, for example, for this arrow here, going from here to here, I will get a corresponding relation, right? That I go from here. Now, how can I go from here to here? Of course, going here, this is my 0 and this is my omega, to 0, to omega, and backwards. Of course, in order to visualize it, it may be better to take a kind of covering. It's not a universal covering, but it's definitely a covering. I have here the new arrow, which is my gamma here. And what we just saw was we have, of course, here a zero relation from zero between zero and omega. But of course, we have also, for example, for this arrow here, a zero relation from here to here. And then, for example, from here to for this arrow, we will have it from here to here, and so on. So there are many more such zero relations which we have to should insert there. Now, we are interested here in the mixed modules for, this is my B hat, and the mixed modules are of course just the modules which are not annihilated by this arrow gamma, because this is the only new arrow there. So the new mixed modules these are the n's with the property that gamma times n is non-zero. Actually, it turns out that fixing an arrow, or actually a pass, in such a quiver, such a subcategory there, has a very nice structure and can be controlled quite well. Right? This is some old work by Scheuer, and he has shown that this is what is called a hammock. You know what a hammock is, right? A hammock would mean you have a tree and another tree, and then in between you will lie there. Right? Now, the hammocks which arise here are usually attached to the simple module. If you look in a module category and take all composition factors of one specific kind, right? Then this will always have the structure. There will be on the left something, namely the projective cover of the symbol. On the right, it will be the injective envelope of the symbol. And in between, it will just look that way that you can just lie down. Right? And the same is true in this situation there. There will be, of course, a corresponding projective again, a corresponding injective there, right? And all of them, they will fit nicely in the translation quiver of this kind. Right? Now, why is this of interest in our setting? Because actually, it turns out that this way we can answer quite well what happens there with our numbers 13, 43, and 164. Because this was the shortage, these were the number of mixed modules for the corresponding hereditary algebra. Now, I mentioned there that in general, for a clustered algebra, the number of mixed modules here is the same as the number of mixed modules here. Right? So if we can interpret the number of mixed modules here in a nice way, then of course we will see what these numbers mean. And this is possible. Now let me first give you a typical example, say, in the case of E6 tilde. The canonical algebra looks like this. Yeah, what I did not say is, if you take the canonical algebra for type E6 tilde, you always will see, if we delete the source, we will get E6 without this orientation. And if we delete the sink, we will get E6 with a vector space orientation. So it's neatly putting together two copies of E6. And now, of course, the corresponding cluster tilted algebra, as you remember, was by adding there another such error. And then it turns out, for example, that we get an indecomposable representation, better maybe we do it here, of the kind here. We are in the situation that we could put here a two-dimensional vector space, here one-dimensional vector space, here one-dimensional vector space, and here one-dimensional vector space. Right? And one knows quite well, you take here the projection onto the first coordinate, the projection onto the second coordinate, and here's the projection modular diagonal, then this will be indecomposable. Now, if we want to do it here, remember, we have to take care of the zero relation, right? And there was a zero relation here now for this error here. We'll get a zero relation from here to here. But this is not so bad. If we have to put there 2, 1, and 1, you see, this is a surjective map from a two-dimensional vector space to a one-dimensional vector space, and there is, of course, a one-dimensional kernel, so I can put here 1. Right? So we get an indecomposable module for the cluster tilted algebra of this situation by just taking, of course, this position is this position there, by taking 1, 0, 1, 1, 2, 0, 1. Now I claim that modulo the radical of the quadratic form. This here, no. Yeah, first, of course, we have to observe something else. If you take there the y and the x, you see that in this situation there, this part here will belong to y, and this part here will belong to x. And actually, what one has to take care of is that going there with the functor x1 there, in some sense, we go here from some elements in the Grothendieck group to corresponding negative elements. So, this roots here, we have to rewrite in the form with a minus 1 on this side. And if we do this, then we will see that this modulo the radical of the quadratic form, this is nothing else, the modulo the radical of the quadratic form, you add here one, everywhere 1, and then you get here 0, 1, 2, 2, 1, 2, and 3. So we get there precisely the maximal positive root. Right? And taking this in general, one observes there now the cardinality of the m of t as an a module was the same as the cardinality of the mixed B hat modules, the intercomposals, of course. Right? And it turns out that this is nothing else than the cardinality of the pairs x and a, where a is between 0 and the maximal entries of the xi's, where x is a positive root, phi plus. Right? And so it turns out that the shortage there is really something what one should call the superfluity for the Dinger diagrams. Right? So if you have a Dinger diagram, now delta should be now Dinger, you may take just the sum of all index over the positive roots, and you take always the maximum of the xi's, yeah, and you subtract minus 1, whether in bracket or not. Right? Which means you are only interested, no, if you have a positive root, right? Then a positive root will have some support. Right? So this will be the support of the positive root, and of course it would be a root already if on the support you would have only values equal to 1. But of course you may have higher values. And if you have higher values, right, then this gives rise to what I call the superfluity. And so what it turns out that it's the shortage for the extended Dinger diagrams there by forming the corresponding canonical algebras there is precisely the superfluity of the original Dinger diagrams. And now in terms of the quadratic forms, this actually amounts to the following situation. If T is a pre-projective tilting module, and B is the corresponding endomorphism ring, and you take there the intercomposable B modules, and you associate to it via the dimension vector an element in the Grundgruppe, then also you have the roots for the quadratic form related to B. And as I said, these roots there may be positive, may be negative, but they can be also mixed. So what you just do there, you take there always the absolute value. Right? So if we have here x equal xi, we attach to it just xi. And what it turns out is that both of these maps have the same image. So for tilted algebra, which is coming from a pre-projective tilting module, but actually it seems only in this situation, you can describe the dimension vectors of the indecomposable V modules in a unified way, just looking at the corresponding root system. Namely, for the roots, this would be such a root there, we have to go there to the absolute value there, and the absolute value there will be just a dimension vector for an indecomposable module.
Much. Are there questions, remarks?
Did anyone see these numbers 13, 43, 164?
The best question, we get them.
Okay, then let's close the session for today. Let's thank all the speakers again.